Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we begin a four-part November series on the South Carolina primary, the most important election that you've heard little about. It'll come shortly after Iowa and New Hampshire, and both parties' candidates see it as the follow-up election that could practically clinch the nomination if they do well there. Mitt Romney has already spent more than $1 million in television commercials in South Carolina, and let's face it, folks, New Yorkers know diddly about the South, so let's learn something. My guest for this is Leroy Chapman, editor of The State, the largest daily newspaper in South Carolina. And Leroy, thanks so much for doing this series for us. I think this is going to be fun as well as political and interesting. So hello from New York.
Hello. How are you doing? Glad to be here.
I'm doing great. So every week I want to check in with you on the movements of the candidates in South Carolina, the polls, and the issues. And I guess the first issue is still when your primary actually is. You're in this leapfrog competition with Florida for first in the South. Where does that stand?
Yeah, that's been such a big story throughout. And early on, the GOP executive director of the state party said that we'd have it at Christmas if we needed to do that in order to maintain our first in the South status. So it's been moving around, but I think we're pretty solid now. What we're going to have is that the Democrats have moved lately, the latest of the parties to move their date. The Republicans will vote on the 19th, and the Democrats will vote. I mean, the Democrats vote on the 26th. So what we're going to have is a vote that'll be a week apart, and it'll be on a Saturday for both. So what will wind up happening is when you open the Sunday papers around the country, you'll probably see South Carolina and those results, and so we'll probably at least dominate that news cycle. So
sorry,
for newspapers.
Yeah, what's the actual date of that again?
The 19th and the 26th.
19th and the 26th, the
right.
the two Saturdays.
Right.
Last time you were on, we talked about Colbert announcing that he was going to file in South Carolina, which I understand there's actually some development on over the last day. But here's what I want to talk about first. The Romney campaign. Romney, as I mentioned, is spending $1 million on television commercials there, or has already. But there was a fascinating thing, a withdrawal of a major endorsement by the Reverend Donald Wilton, pastor of a Spartanburg church and past president of the Southern Baptist Convention there. He's considered a religious right leader in South Carolina. Romney is heavily courting that demographic, and he withdrew his endorsement this week, calling it a personal error. Tell us about that.
Well, there has been, I think, among evangelicals in South Carolina, a lot of discussion about the Romney nomination because he's courted them heavily. He said a lot of the right things, but you've got people here in South Carolina, especially Southern Baptist, who traditionally church has said that Mormonism is a cult. And so what you have is a very attractive candidate who's saying the right things. And he was doing the right things politically.
But is that what it was about? It was about religious differences rather than issue differences and his credibility on the issues?
Well, yeah, there's two sides of that. The other is certainly it's that. So that is giving them great pause, I think, with their congregations, because if you tell your congregants one thing about Mormonism and then you say, well, I don't think that's the case, and that's one thing they've been wrestling with. The other side of that, though, has been some of the flip-flopping that is sort of gone on, I think, that is gets you to the one thing that I think is important for any candidate, and that's just credibility. That has come to the forefront now. I mean, obviously, political opponents have, as Romney has surged, have been talking about can we really trust him and believe him, and as long as that becomes part of the political discussion, then it puts pressure on folks who perhaps have bought Romney to now take a second look, because the YouTube videos and all those things are out there, and the opponents have seized upon it, and in the debate,
showing what he said in the past and how different they are.
Absolutely, and the issues here that are really important, of course, are two. One is the abortion issue, and the other issue would be gay marriage.
How well known is Reverend Wilton in South Carolina, and how influential among the religious conservatives there?
You know, he's fairly well known, but I think the bigger news for Romney was the fact that, and that was last week when Bob Jones University, their past president, their past chancellor, who is a direct descendant of Bob Jones, he's his grandson, decided to support Romney. That carries more weight than the other pulled endorsement, and part of that is the fact that if you are measuring conservatism, nobody comes more conservative than Bob Jones III. So I think the Romney camp is still, especially in South Carolina, are still saying that I am a certified conservative, and Bob Jones III says so. And if you can be called a conservative by him, you are pretty conservative.
Now, we're going to open up the phones in this and each of these segments on Thursdays this month in this little exchange program we're doing here between New York and South Carolina, mostly because this is such an important primary and it's been getting so little coverage outside of that state, but also because maybe we'll learn something about people from another part of the country. So if you want to give us a call for Leroy Chapman, editor of The State, the largest daily newspaper in South Carolina, give us a call right now, 212-433-WNYC, on the South Carolina primary in particular, but we can get into some other things if you want. Lindsey Graham's re-election campaign raising some interesting issues there. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And this is going to be an interesting race on both sides, Democrat and Republican, partly because of race on the Democratic side, partly because of the religious conservative dynamic on the Republican side, and also the Southern dynamic. Does Fred Thompson have a natural advantage in South Carolina because he's a Southerner?
You know, that's a pretty compelling storyline. We've got some polling that's going to be coming out that asks that question about whether or not you prefer a candidate more because he is Southern. I think the campaign is banked on that, and I think it's probably going to help him some. The draft Thompson movement was pretty strong in South Carolina, and during the first round of polling, even before he was an officially declared candidate, Thompson was near the top and hadn't spent a dime here.
It's an interesting question when people are asked like that. Does it matter that someone from the South would be the candidate? I would guess that a lot of people would say no to that. No, I'm just going to vote for the best person. But then that person, because they're similar, winds up having resonance.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, culturally, I think there are voters who just feel a little bit more comfortable, and that's sort of a historic thing. I think among a lot of the front runners, especially, there are very few Southerners on either side. I mean, obviously, Edwards is a Southerner, and I don't think it's helped him. So it's interesting on the Democratic side that him being from here hadn't helped him. The last polling that we have, he's a distant third. I think Clinton and Obama have far outpaced him. So on that side, it really hadn't mattered. So maybe it's more of an issue with the Republican voters about the Southern issue. And part of that, I think, is cultural.
What about the basic polling so far as of today in each race?
We have a poll that will go live. It's embargoed that we've done with Winthrop University, which is one of our state universities up in Rock Hill. We'll be running that out at 8 o'clock tonight, and it'll be on our website at state.com.
Come on, we won't tell anybody in South Carolina.
Well, let me tell you that probably no surprises on the Democratic side. Hillary has been leading consistently. Obama certainly is well within striking distance and is very close. A big undecided there still. Our last polling said that still about a third of voters have not decided on the Democratic side.
So let me stop you right there.
Sure.
This is one of the reasons I think South Carolina is so important, because it's going to come so early. And if Obama can do well in either Iowa or New Hampshire, and he's close at least in Iowa, and then you say that they're close and there's a huge undecided in South Carolina. So for all of his national polling that we see that gives Clinton a big lead, if she does well in Iowa, I mean, if Obama does well in Iowa and then turns around and does well in South Carolina, all bets are off.
I think so. I think so. I mean, if you look at the way the primaries have gone historically, I think so. I think you've got he's got a real shot. And Obama's been campaigning here frenetically. He's going to be here again this weekend. In fact, we've got six candidates for president who are going to be here this weekend. So it's a big week for us here because they're all here. But to your point, I think Obama's got as good a shot as any, although Hillary has historically led in these polls. They've all been close, and there's still a huge undecided out there, so who knows what's going to happen.
Are there certain issues that define the Clinton-Obama race in South Carolina? You know, do people, is it identity? Because actually, maybe you could give me a number on the percentage of African-Americans expected to vote in the Democratic primary there. And then tell me how much of this is identity and how much of this is particular issues or distrust of Clinton or whatever.
I think it's all identity.
Really?
It's about half of, absolutely. I think about half the voters in the Democratic primary are expected to be African-American.
Half. That might be that might be the biggest in the country.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. And if you look at Iowa, New Hampshire, certainly this is diversity here where you have very little racial diversity there. Here with Obama, and we've written about this a couple of times, you've got the history of an African-American candidate, one who's mainstream, who's well-financed, and who has a legitimate shot at becoming a nominee. That resonates with people. But the Clintons have such a legacy of goodwill among African-Americans here that, you know, the idea that do I identify with, especially with black women, let me back up, black women being such an important part of that 50%, they'll be of that 50% subset, they'll probably be 60, 65% of voters. So the identity issue is especially resonant with them because do they vote for the African-American who's making history or the female who's making history? So it's an interesting question, and I think that leads to a lot of the undecidedness with that race because, again, it's mainly black voters. I think on the other side, with the other 50% with white voters, I think they're splitting along the Clinton legacy, and I think that DLC, sort of Democratic Leadership Council of Democratic politics versus, I think, the classic liberalism, I think, that Obama's sort of veering towards. So I think it's a different sort of split on that side.
Leroy Chapman, editor of The State, the largest daily newspaper in South Carolina, my guest as we talk about the South Carolina primary. We're going to follow it for all four Thursdays this month with Leroy, such a big primary. And I can already tell from what you've said that next week we'll talk about the visits of all those six candidates to South Carolina over this coming weekend, and I'll ask you about how they've been campaigning there. But let's take a phone call. James in Asbury Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Good morning. Listening to your conversation concerning South Carolina and voting, my thoughts are I'm always amazed that there's a state that elected a 100-year-old man as a senator. It tells me a lot about the constituency.
Well, what should that tell us about the constituency, that this was the state of Strom Thurmond and that he got elected to the Senate even as a 100-year-old man?
That's one of the things I think that speaks to what we talked about, especially on the Republican side. I mean, it's a Republican-dominated state, and I think Strom, is just a unique figure that adapted very well to the politics of the time and had a pretty good machine that kept him elected. What does it say? Well, I don't know if it really says anything now because I think that there has been a sea change in South Carolina politics. So this is a state that isn't that same state. It's a state that's grown exponentially. And I had a political scientist telling me that Rudy Giuliani is doing well because there's so many transplants here that it has transformed South Carolina in sort of the way it from its traditional views because there are so many transplants. And there are. I mean, it's a different sort of state. So I don't think that...
Are they retired? The transplants, are they retirees from the North mainly?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of what we call go-betweens, people who retired to Florida, decided that Florida culturally no longer suited them, so they're what we call halfbacks. They come halfway back.
This is the Hilton Head vote.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's wealth. It's these folks from the Northeast who like the climate, like the low taxes, and I think like our generally conservative politics on both sides.
Sid in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sid.
Hi. I have to say this as a atheist Jew. I think that having having the primaries on a Saturday is blatant anti-Semitism because that cuts out a huge part of the Jewish population from attending, from being represented.
It would cut out the Orthodox Jews anyway. Most other Jews probably would go vote anyway. But what about that? Has that been an issue? Is there an Orthodox Jewish population to complain about that? Because you know, Jewish law would prevent them from voting on a Saturday.
That's an important point, and I'm disappointed I hadn't heard from my friend Rabbi Mark Wilson, who down here, who usually will email me about any and everything under the sun. That has not come up yet, but that's something that I think we should ask about.
Eileen in South Orange, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't know who that gentleman is in South Carolina, but it would be nice if you had some ordinary people from various communities, just ordinary people who would come in and speak in terms or in regards to the African-American uh-huh. vote. Because some of the things that man said is not totally true. People like Obama only put them up to run for office because they ain't nothing but perpetuator puppets. That's what we call them. Because they don't have no power to have their own, and they make it a point. When they go in office, the powers to be that they don't mm-hmm. help African
Americans. Ma'am, I'm African American, and I've been African American all my life, so I think I'm pretty qualified to talk about this on at least that level.
Well, she's saying you're, you know, from an elite position in society as editor of a major daily newspaper. But how much skepticism do you think there is of Obama in the African-American community in South Carolina as being from the elite, as being too slick, as being not black enough, any of that stuff?
You know, it's come up every now and again, and here's where it comes up. There are people who think that there is a bit of compromise, that he has to compromise a bit to attract white voters, and he has to work extra hard, and in working extra hard to attract white votes to get elected, that he's giving up, maybe he has to, give up, I guess, a little bit of what they hope to get out of Obama, and that is somebody who, as an African-American, will better understand African-American views and African-American issues. So there is some of that, and there are people who think that, you know, Hillary Clinton, as an alternative, is not bound by that same sort of dilemma of having mm-hmm. to prove themselves to white voters. Hillary Clinton doesn't have to do that. So it's an interesting sort of dynamic, because I think there are some voters, folks I've spoken with, who say, you know, maybe Obama will have to compromise himself a whole lot more in order to attract the white votes he'd need to win the nomination and a general election. So it's an interesting sort of dynamic.
20 seconds. As far as you can tell us, what's the basic polling on the Republican side right now? You gave us the Democrats before.
I think Thompson's doing well here, and I expect that he's continuing to do well. Romney is surging, no question about that. So I think $1 million has bought him some votes.
Romney is surging. Is Rudy on television there?
Rudy is not yet on television. He has been on the radio quite a bit, and he has also been neck and neck, and in fact leading in some polls, and I expect that between the three of those candidates, they're at the top.
All right.
There's still a pretty big undecided out there.
We are going to follow the race in South Carolina every Thursday this month with Leroy Chapman, editor-in-chief of The State, the largest daily newspaper in South Carolina. Thanks a lot, Leroy. Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.